Morning, church. The reading today, if you haven't already gathered, is about the parable of the lost son, and it's from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Then he came to his senses. He said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Thanks be to God.
Right. Well, good morning. So I wonder if you have ever lost something. Sure, you all have lost things. It's a bit of a standing joke in our home that Nick is always losing things, generally keys, phone, and wallet. Oh, I haven't got the thing, have I? Sorry. Your dad's going to do it, is he? Sorry. Brilliant. Thanks, Sean. It's gone again. Sorry. Oh. Okay. There we go. But if I'm honest, you know, I seem to be catching up with Nick, particularly with my glasses at work. It's a bit of a standing joke. I've got about 9 pairs of reading glasses, and I'll still be saying in the office, "Where are my glasses?" And they're like, "They're on your head. Have you not noticed?" And it's incredible what people lose. The 14 commonly lost items include, indeed, the keys, phone, and wallet, but also glasses, remote TV controllers, chargers, umbrellas and pens. Some of the more uncommon items that have been lost and therefore found are things like a pet rabbit, a bottom set of false teeth, and a large handcrafted puppet. But interestingly, there was something that was lost in 1966. Can anybody say what was actually lost in 1966? The World Cup, you're right. The if we move on to the next one, thank you. The FIFA World Cup trophy, the Jules Rimet trophy, went missing in 1966, and it was stolen just months before the World Cup in England was scheduled to begin. But remarkably, the trophy was recovered 7 days later by a dog named Pickles, who discovered it wrapped in newspaper under a hedge in South London. How bizarre. Well, today we're looking at something else lost, or someone else who was lost, a lost son. And as Sarah has read to us, and as we've had enacted, kind of we find that that parable in Luke 15. And we see here Jesus using 3 lost parables. So 3 lost stories. We're going to move on, Sean, if that's okay. And these stories, these illustrations, they highlight something really important, something important about God the Father, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And actually, Jesus told these stories in response to the religious leaders who were grumbling at that time, who were grumbling at Jesus, welcoming sinners, welcoming people outside the establishment to him. And although this third parable is most commonly known as the prodigal or the lost son, I want to today focus on the Father, the perfect Father. And I believe that Jesus told this story, or these stories, to illustrate the character of God the Father. In the story today that we've had read, the Father is a window onto God the Father. Now, you will see there is a painting there. It's actually entitled The Return of the Prodigal, and it's a painting that Rembrandt created. The original hangs in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg, and I have a copy of that painting in our home, and it hangs at the top of our stairs. And I absolutely love this painting, because for me, the focus, and if you look at the light on the picture, the light is on the Father welcoming the Son home. The focus is on the Father. And that's true in the parable. The account in Luke's gospel actually begins with the line, "There was a man who had two sons." It begins with the Father. If we move on to the next slide, Sean, thank you. And the structure really is that we have the introduction where we have the Father, we have the beginning of the story, which is the younger son's rebellion against his father. The middle is the father's compassion. The end is the older son's anger towards the father. And the conclusion is the Father. We know the story, don't we? The younger son treated his father terribly. You know, in Middle Eastern culture, you know, what that son said to his father was to the same as, "I'm eager for you to die. Actually, I just want your money. Get on with it," kind of thing. "I want your money." And, you know, the father could have refused. He would have been perfectly within his rights to refuse, because actually, you know, it brought shame on the family, shame for the whole family. But the father's love for the son was so extensive that he allowed him to do that. And we know he went off, he squandered all he had, and then eventually he came to his senses and decided to go home to the father. He must have felt so alone in the world. And actually, it wasn't irrational. We see it says he came to his senses. He recognized that he needed help. But what has the father been doing all this time? Has he forgotten about his son? Has he written him off? No. He was filled with immense sorrow for the loss of his son, the loss of their relationship. And the father has been keeping vigil at the gates. It said that, didn't it? But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And actually, if we look at the word, I'm not sure in the original, but to kiss him over and over and over again. It wasn't just a, and we're done. You know, he was so overjoyed to see him. The father had been incredibly patient. We have no idea for how long the son had been away. It could have been months or even years. And of course, no phone calls, no emails, no social media posts, but the father had been patiently waiting. And he was filled with compassion. He ran. He didn't hesitate. He didn't care how undignified he looked. He ran to his son. I can think of a time when my older brother Keith, he got into a spot of bother on his way home from school. He'd been in a fight. He'd been picked on by some older children, and my younger brother had gone home to get my parents to help. I think I stayed and tried to defend him and probably just made it a whole lot worse as I waded in with my umbrella. But I can remember seeing my parents running. They were in their slippers. They hadn't put a coat on. They had their gardening clothes on. They didn't care what they looked like. They just ran to their son. And that's what we see here today. The father running to his son, hugging him and kissing him. Probably, you know, he smelt awful. He had been tending those pigs. His clothes were unwashed. They were ragged. You know, other people were watching him run, but he didn't care. He just wanted to get to his son. You know, and those of us that have had the privilege of being parents, you know, it doesn't actually matter when they're babies that they're covered in food or vomit or they're they smell bad because they've got a full nappy or perhaps they've fallen over and, you know, cut themselves. We don't care about the mess, do we? We just pull them close to us and hold them tight. We want them to feel secure and loved and wanted. And that's what we see of God the Father in this parable. God our Father is patient and compassionate and demonstrative. He doesn't actually care what mess we've got ourselves into. He is waiting for us. He runs to us and he draws us close. And that might be really hard for some of us here today to understand, especially if that hasn't been perhaps our own experience, either of our father or father figures in our lives. You know, my dad was a really good man, but he was not particularly patient. He wasn't indeed very demonstrative. But, you know, we see this in the father heart of God, don't we? I think the next bit is great. The son tries to kind of give his apology, and he's barely finished in a way. And I'm not actually sure that the father is interested in what he has to say. He just wants to restore his son, and he wants to celebrate. Right, I'm going to need a volunteer. I'm going to need a child or a young person to come and give me a hand here. Anybody want to come and help? It's not too bad. It's not too onerous. I'll pick on... Come on down then. Come on down, the price is right. Those of you that are old enough will remember that. Giving my age away here now probably, aren't I? Okay. He's coming down. Brilliant. Thank you so much. You want to just come and stand up here? Is that okay? So what does he do next? Right. Well, he brings a robe. Not just any robe, he brings him the best robe. Now, I've got some tenuous links here. So if you'd like to put this football shirt on here, is that okay? England shirt, I hope you don't mind wearing that. Is that okay? And he gives him back his honour and his dignity and his position in the family. And, you know, it was the best one. You know, this, like, is a new England kit. Not really, is it? Yeah. So, but, you know, we're pretending it's the current, you know, England kit. He gives him the best one. And then the father puts a ring on his finger. And the ring there symbolises authority and commitment. In ancient times, the signet ring was used to seal documents and represent legal authority. And by placing a ring, I haven't got a ring. I've got a medal here now. This is very tenuous link. This is the New Forest Half Marathon that Nick ran quite a few years ago. But by placing that on his son's finger, he is reinstating his rights. He is saying, I have confidence in you. You have authority now to act on behalf of our family. I don't know that players have club rings, but they certainly have medals. And then the final thing the father does, he gives his son sandals. Now, we haven't got sandals here today, but we've got a very fine, I'm not expecting you to put these on, you can perhaps just put them by your feet, but a very fine pair of David's football boots here. And we're going to pretend that they are sandals. And in the context of this story, providing the sandals to the son signifies that he is no longer a servant, but he is a free man. So you are a free man now. And the father has given the son back so many things. He's restored him completely to the position he had before he left. And that's what God does to us. Thank you very much. Round of applause for you. Is that all right? You haven't got to take it off now, but you want to take it off? That's fine. I just hold your top down while you take that off. Oh, there we go. All right. Thank you very much for your help. Thank you. So we didn't read the lost sheep or the coin, but all these parables show us that God is passionate and intentional about pursuing lost people. That's you and me. It reveals his heart. You know, once Nick and I, we took Esther to London and we went to Covent Garden. She was probably, I don't know, 10, 11 at the time. And you know what it's like? You take your eyes off them for a second and they are gone. And she was gone. And it was a really busy Saturday. And, you know, we didn't just stand there going, oh, it's all right. I've got two other children. It's all right. She might come back in a bit. Hey ho. Not going to let it spoil our day. No, we were frantic. We were frantic looking for her. We went off in opposite directions. And, you know, you stop. My mind, I was the worst. Oh, she's in the back of a white van heading off somewhere. You know, it was just awful. But I have to say the second part of the story for that bit is actually that Nick had found her and had failed to let me know that he had found her. So I was still frantically searching for her, and they were busy watching, you know, the performers at Covent Garden, having a lovely time, and I am still literally losing my mind about to call the police. But it was certainly a joy to find her again. Such a relief. It says in 1 John 3, verse 1, "See how great the love the Father has lavished on us, that we," that's you and me, "should be called children of God." And that is what we are. What does God lavish on us? His love. His love that he demonstrated in his gift of his one and only Son, Jesus. So what should be our response? You know, perhaps we've never thought of God in this way, of a loving Father intentionally pursuing and seeking us. Perhaps we might need to take that first step and turn around and start taking a step towards him. You know, you can do that by talking to people perhaps that you know who have an understanding of God as a perfect Father, or perhaps by exploring an Alpha course. Or perhaps we need to acknowledge that we might have strayed from the Father, gone our own way a bit. That was certainly my experience as a young Christian. You know, it took me a few years and plenty of mistakes, just like the prodigal son, to start my journey back to God the Father. But, you know, God was always working in the background. He was prompting and whispering and enticing me back. And I can see that now when I look back. It's always great, isn't it? Hindsight is great. You look back and you see how God was drawing you back. One of our former members, Jenny Baines's wife, wrote on Facebook a few weeks ago, and I know both Jill and I had spotted something she'd written. It was a famous quote that Derek had written. It says that she'd found it again. And it says this: love ever gives, forgives, outlives, and ever stands with open hands. And while it lives, it gives. For this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give and give. You know, and that should be our response. That's the perfect Father's love. We see that, don't we, in Jesus, arms stretched out wide on the cross, forgiving and loving and giving. And that should be our response. You know, I just as I was getting ready this morning, I remembered something I've heard, and I don't know where I've heard it from, and I don't want to quote the wrong person, but it says this as well. When the Father's love is in the Father's house, the prodigals will come home. That's us, to have the Father's love in his house, and then the prodigals will come home. Well, I've missed the last part of the Father's response, to throw a party to celebrate. There's been lots of celebration, hasn't there, already in the World Cup when England won 4-2. And we've got our next slide. Hopefully, we should be able to see a bit of a clip of the celebration of one of the teams.
And you know,
that's how the perfect Father and the perfect Son celebrate when we come home to him. They are there, aren't they? They're not, oh, it's lovely, come on in. They are there cheering on, either for the first time or the umpteenth time, joined with the whole company of heaven, all those that have gone before us. See how great the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Today, get to know the perfect Father and find your way home. It's even better than football coming home. Thank you.